Chapter 7. Immortal gods, like Mars, to me might be applied to words which were written concerning handsome General Webb, in Marlborough's time. To noble danger he conducts the way, his great example all his troop obey, before the front the major sternly rides, with such an air as Mars to battle strides. Propitious heaven must sure a hero save like Paris handsome, and like Hector brave. My officers, Captains Biggs and McAnulty, Lieutenants Glogger, Popendick, Stuffle, and C&C, were dressed exactly in the same way, but in yellow, and the men were similarly equipped, but in black. I have seen many regiments since, and many ferocious-looking men, but the Ahmednugger irregulars were more dreadful to the view than any set of ruffians on which I ever set eyes. I would to heaven that the Tsar of Muscovy had passed through Kabul and Lahore, and that I with my old Ahmednugger stood on a fair field to meet him. Bless you, my swart companions in victory. Through the mist of 20 years I hear the booming of your war cry, and mark the glitter of your scimitars as ye rage in the thickest of the battle. 6. But away with melancholy reminiscences. You may fancy what a figure the irregulars cut on a field day, a line of 500 black-faced, black-dressed, black-horsed, black-bearded men, Biggs, Glogger, and the other officers in yellow, galloping about the field like flashes of lightning, myself enlightening them, red, solitary, and majestic, like yon glorious orb in heaven. There are very few men, I presume, who have not heard of Holker's sudden and gallant incursion into the Duab, in the year 1804 when we thought that the victory of Laswery and the brilliant success at Deeg had completely finished him. Taking 10,000 horse he broke up his camp at Palimbang, and the first thing General Lake heard of him was that he was at Putna, then at Rumpooch, then at Donkeridum. He was, in fact, in the very heart of our territory. The unfortunate part of the affair was this. His Excellency, despising the Maratha chieftain, had allowed him to advance about 2,000 miles in his front, and knew not in the slightest degree where to lay hold on him. Was he at Hazarabagh? Was he at Bagli Gunj? Nobody knew, and for a considerable period the movements of Lake's cavalry were quite ambiguous, uncertain, promiscuous, and undetermined. Such, briefly, was the state of affairs in October 1804. At the beginning of that month I had been wounded, a trifling scratch, cutting off my left upper eyelid, a bit of my cheek, and my underlip, and I was obliged to leave Biggs in command of my irregulars, whilst I retired for my wounds to an English station at Farrukhabad, alias Futtigar it is, as every Twopenny postman knows, at the apex of the Duab. We have there a cantonment, and thither I went for the mere sake of the surgeon and the sticking plaster. Farrukhabad, then, is divided into two districts or towns. The lower Kotwal, inhabited by the natives, and the upper, which is fortified slightly, and has all along been called Futtigar, meaning in Hindustani the favorite resort of the white-faced Ferengis near the mango tope consecrated to Ram, occupied by Europeans. It is astonishing, by the way, how comprehensive that language is, and how much can be conveyed in one or two of the commonest phrases.
Biggs, then, and my men were playing all sorts of wondrous pranks with Lord Lake's army, whilst I was detained an unwilling prisoner of health at Futtigar. An unwilling prisoner, however, I should not say. The cantonment at Futtigar contained that which would have made any man a happy slave. Woman, lovely woman, was there in abundance and variety. The fact is, that, when the campaign commenced in 1803 the ladies of the army all congregated to this place, where they were left, as it was supposed, in safety. I might, like Homer, relate the names and qualities of all. I may at least mention some whose memory is still most dear to me. There was Mrs. Major General Bulcher, wife of Bulcher of the Infantry. Miss Bulcher. Miss Belinda Bulcher, whose name I beg the printer to place in large capitals. Mrs. Colonel Van de Goblishroy. Mrs. Major Macon and the four Mrs. Macon. the Honorable Mrs. Burgoo, Mrs. Flix, Hicks, Wicks, and many more too numerous to mention. The flower of our camp was, however, collected there, and the last words of Lord Lake to me, as I left him, were, "Gahagan, I commit those women to your charge. Guard them with your life, watch over them with your honor, defend them with the matchless power of your indomitable arm." Fudiger is, as I have said, a European station, and the pretty air of the bungalows, amid the clustering totes of mango trees, has often ere this excited the admiration of the tourist and sketcher. On the brow of a hill the Brahmaputra River rolls majestically at its base, and no spot, in a word, can be conceived more exquisitely arranged, both by art and nature, as a favorite residence of the British fair. Mrs. Bulcher, Mrs. Van de Gobleshoy, and the other married ladies above mentioned, had each of them delightful bungalows and gardens in the place, and between one cottage and another my time passed as delightfully as can the hours of any man who is away from his darling occupation of war. I was the commandant of the fort. It is a little insignificant petta, defended simply by a couple of gabions, a very ordinary counterscarp, and a bomb-proof embrasure. On the top of this my flag was planted, and the small garrison of 40 men only were comfortably barracked off in the casemates within. A surgeon and two chaplains there were besides three reverend gentlemen of amateur missions, who lived in the town. Completed, as I may say, the garrison of our little fortalice, which I was left to defend and to command. On the night of the 1st of November, in the year 1804, I had invited Mrs. Major General Bulcher and her daughters, Mrs. Van de Gobleshoy, and, indeed, all the ladies in the cantonment, to a little festival in honor of the recovery of my health, of the commencement of the shooting season, and indeed as a farewell visit, for it was my intention to take dock the very next morning and return to my regiment. The three amateur missionaries whom I have mentioned, and some ladies in the cantonment of very rigid religious principles, refused to appear at my little party. They had better never have been born than have done as they did. As you shall hear, we had been dancing merrily all night, and the supper, chiefly of the delicate condor, the luscious adjutant, and other birds of a similar kind, which I had shot in the course of the day, had been duly feted by every lady and gentleman present, when I took an opportunity to retire on the ramparts with the interesting and lovely Belinda Bulcher. I was occupied, as the French say, in conquering fleurettes to this sweet young creature, when, all of a sudden, a rocket was seen whizzing through the air, and a strong light was visible in the valley below the little fort. What, fireworks? Captain Gahagan, said Belinda, this is too gallant. Indeed, my dear Miss Bulcher, said I, they are fireworks of which I have no idea. Perhaps our friends the missionaries said Belinda, trembling, and clutching tightly hold of my arm. What do I see? Yes. It is our bungalow is in flames. It was true, the spacious bungalow occupied by Mrs. Major General was at that moment seen a prey to the devouring element. Another and another succeeded at seven bungalows, before I could almost ejaculate the name of Jack Robinson, were seen blazing brightly in the black midnight air. I seized my night glass, and looking towards the spot where the conflagration raged, what was my astonishment to see thousands of black forms dancing round the fires, whilst by their lights I could observe columns after columns of Indian horse, arriving, and taking up their ground in the very middle of the open square tank, round which the bungalows were built. Ho, warder! Shouted I,
while the frightened and trembling Belinda clung closer to my side, and pressed the stalwart arm that encircled her waist,
down with the drawbridge. See that your masoljis,
small tumbrils which are used in place of large artillery, be well loaded.
You, sepoys, hasten and man the ravelin. You, chaprassis, put out the lights in the embrasures. We shall have warm work of it tonight, or my name is not Goliath Gahagan. The ladies, the guests, to the number of 83, the sepoys, chaprasies, masalgees, and so on, had all crowded on the platform at the sound of my shouting, and dreadful was the consternation, shrill the screaming, occasioned by my words. The men stood irresolute and mute with terror, the women, trembling, knew scarcely whither to fly for refuge. Who are yonder ruffians? Said one. 100 voices yelped in reply. Some said the Pindaris, some said the Marathas, some vowed it was Sindhia, and others declared it was Holkar. No one knew. Is there anyone here, said I, who will venture to reconnoiter yonder troops? There was a dead pause. 1,000 tomans to the man who will bring me news of yonder army. Again I repeated. Still a dead silence. The fact was that Sindhia and Holkar both were so notorious for their cruelty that no one dared venture to face the danger. Oh, for 50 of my brave Ahmednugaris. Thought I, gentlemen, said I see it, you are cowards, none of you dare encounter the chance even of death. It is an encouraging prospect. Know you not that the ruffian Holkar, if it be he, will with tomorrow's dawn beleaguer our little fort, and throw thousands of men against our walls? Know you not that, if we are taken, there is no quarter, no hope, death for us, and worse than death for these lovely ones assembled here? Here the ladies shrieked, and raised a howl as I have heard the jackals on a summer's evening. Belinda, my dear Belinda, flung both her arms round me, and sobbed on my shoulder or in my waistcoat pocket rather, for the little witch could reach no higher. Captain Gahagan, sobbed she, go go Gogoliah. My soul's adored. Replied I, swear to me one thing. I swear. If the nasty, horrid, odious black Mariahadas take the fort, you will put me out of their power. I clasped the dear girl to my heart, and swore upon my sword that, rather than she should incur the risk of dishonor, she should perish by my own hand. This comforted her, and her mother, Mrs. Major General Belcher, and her elder sister, who had not until now known a word of our attachment, indeed. But for these extraordinary circumstances, it is probable that we ourselves should never have discovered it, were under these painful circumstances made aware of my beloved Belinda's partiality for me. Having communicated thus her wish of self-destruction, I thought her example a touching and excellent one, and proposed to all the ladies that they should follow it, and that at the entry of the enemy into the fort, and at a signal given by me, they should one and all make away with themselves. Fancy my disgust when, after making this proposition, not one of the ladies chose to accede to it, and received it with the same chilling denial that my former proposal to the garrison had met with. In the midst of this hurry and confusion, as if purposely to add to it, a trumpet was heard at the gate of the fort, and one of the sentinels came running to me, saying that a Maratha soldier was before the gate with a flag of truce. I went down, rightly conjecturing, as it turned out, that the party, whoever they might be, had no artillery, and received at the point of my sword a scroll, of which the following is a translation. To Goliah Gahagan Gajputi. Lord of Elephants, sir, I have the honor to inform you that I arrived before this place at 8 o'clock p.m. with 10,000 cavalry under my orders. I have burned, since my arrival, 17 bungalows in Farrukhabad and Fatehgarh, and have likewise been under the painful necessity of putting to death 3 clergymen, Malas, and 7 English officers, whom I found in the village. The women have been transferred to safekeeping in the harems of my officers and myself. As I know your courage and talents, I shall be very happy if you will surrender the fortress and take service as a Major General Hukabader in my army. Should my proposal not meet with your assent, I beg leave to state that tomorrow I shall storm the fort, and on taking it, shall put to death every male in the garrison, and every female above 20 years of age. For yourself I shall reserve a punishment, which for novelty and exquisite torture has, I flatter myself, hardly ever been exceeded. Awaiting the favor of a reply, I am, sir, your very obedient servant, Jeswant Row Holker, Camp before Fuddiger, September 1, 1804, R.S. 5. P. apostrophe, the officer who had brought this precious epistle.
It is astonishing how Holker had aped the forms of English correspondence.
An enormous Python soldier, with a shirt of mail, and a steel cap and cape, round which his turban wound, was leaning against the gate on his matchlock, and whistling a national melody. I read the letter, and saw at once there was no time to be lost. That man, thought I, must never go back to Holker. Were he to attack us now, before we were prepared, the fort would be his in half an hour. Tying my white pocket handkerchief to a stick, I flung open the gate and advanced to the officer. He was standing, I said, on the little bridge across the moat. I made him a low salaam, after the fashion of the country, and, as he bent forward to return the compliment, I am sorry to say, I plunged forward, gave him a violent blow on the head, which deprived him of all sensation, and then dragged him within the wall, raising the drawbridge after me. I bore the body into my own apartment. There, swift as thought, I stripped him of his turban, kammerbund, pajamas, and papooshes, and, putting them on myself, determined to go forth and reconnoiter the enemy. Asterisk, 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 here I was obliged to stop, for Cabrera, Rose Darrells, and the rest of the staff were sound asleep. What I did in my reconnaissance, and how I defended the fort of Fuddiger, I shall have the honor of telling on another occasion. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.